Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
O gracious and most merciful Father, we thank you so much that you have revealed to us through your word the grace and character of who you are, and that you have empowered the Spirit to be able to help us to be able to comprehend your word. As Jesus opened the scriptures in Luke chapter 24, that the eyes and the hearts of those and their minds were opened to be able to understand scriptures. And we pray, Lord, that you would do this mighty work in our hearts today, that we might be able to have our eyes opened, our hearts opened, to be able to comprehend the fullness of the grace of the gospel as we open the scriptures this very evening. Do a mighty work this evening because of the work of the Spirit, we pray. In Christ's holy and beloved name, amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. This is God's holy, inerrant, life-giving word. Please take heed how you hear. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. How many commandments are there? It's a question that Samuel Rutherford was teaching on a Sabbath day, Lord's Day, before evening worship, as they would gather the children together in their house and have company over. And Samuel Rutherford had an unexpected guest that very day. And he thought that he would share with this unexpected guest and give them an opportunity to be able to answer a very easy question. So he thought. He asked this unexpected guest, how many commandments are there? Now, we could answer in a very scientific, specific way. 613 commandments are given in the whole law given to Moses found in the Old Testament. That is true. That was not the answer this unexpected guest gave. The correct answer that Samuel Rutherford, so he thought, was looking to be able to hear is 10. How many commandments are there? Well, there are 10 commandments that we must live for. As we read before in our Westminster Larger Catechism, there's the moral law is summarily comprehended within the 10 commandments. And so Samuel Rutherford asked this question, how many commandments are there, to this unexpected guest? Now, Samuel Rutherford didn't know who this man was, but this man turned around and said, 11. Samuel Rutherford said, well, how did you get to 11? Well, the man said, Jesus taught, a new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another as I have loved you. Now, Samuel Rutherford, again, understood finally who this man was. He was the preacher that was to come and fill the pulpit, and he preached on that passage from 1 John. And so, John, in this passage, gives us three categories to be able to understand ourselves. New and old, or old and new. Light and dark. And then finally, hate and love. And so, We first start with old. John begins and says that I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. John, again, is trying to show these false teachers that have come in and started to twist and distort God's word to be able to fit their own reasons and reasonings. And so he points out that he is not making anything new up. The gospel message that has been delivered to them through Christ Jesus, as he seeks to be able to unpack, which we begin right in the very beginning, that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, this word which was made manifest to them. And so he begins with nothing new but that old commandment. As this man comes up to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 and asks, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus turns around and says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law. Jesus asks, what is the greatest commandment? He gives two commandments, that you're to love God and love others. Paul then unpacks and says that this is the commandment that we are given. He says the whole law is summarized in one word, love. Galatians 5:14, he says that the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He then says, where are the law summarily comprehended, as he unpacks them in Romans chapter 13, and he explains that you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, shall not steal, shall not covet, and any other commandment, he says, can be found in this one commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is no new commandment. To be able to love God and love others. And so John unpacks and says that this is an old commandment that has been given. You want to find how the law is summarized? Jesus says, two commandments, love God, love others. Paul says in several times, Galatians, Romans, the whole law is fulfilled in this one commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then he says in verse 8, at the same time, there's a new commandment which he's writing to you. This old commandment to be able to love God, love others, is then also found in Jesus' new commandment, which he speaks of in John chapter 13. As Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And so John explains that these commandments, old and new, are nothing new about the new commandments. The same commandment to be able to love one another as Christ has loved you. The newness of this commandment comes in the love that is found in Christ. Do we truly understand what that love then looks like? You're to love one another in the Old Testament. What is helpful is then when Christ comes, we understand what that love then means. That you're to love one another. You're to love God and love others. Again, what a challenging thing to be able to apply to our lives, particularly when we think about love, not in terms of how we understand it in this world. Love is a feeling, an emotion, something that we do not seek to be able to grasp, something that fleets away, that fades. But love, when we think about it in biblical terms, the love that is patient and kind, that does not envy or boast, not arrogant or rude, doesn't insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, rejoices at the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When we have that understanding of what love is in a biblical definition, then when we are commanded then to be able to love one another, then it begins to be able to seek to be able to grow in how much we lack. Then love one another means to be patient with one another, to kind to one another, to not be envious of one another, not to boast in one another, not to be arrogant towards one another, not to be rude towards one another, not to be able to put yourself first, to be able to think of yourself more highly than you ought, not to be irritable or resentful towards one another, not to be able to rejoice at wrongdoings when others do it, but loves and rejoices truth. A great and challenging commandment, that is then to be able to love one another. That here we understand then that John is challenging these young disciples that we are to love one another, to love God and love others. Something old and something new. As he explains, at the same time, this new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Again, Jesus' new commandment to be able to love one another is not necessarily new because of this commandment to be able to love, but it's new because the bar has then been raised because he has loved us. What does John write in John chapter 3, the famous verse that God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son. That in him we should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, that here Christ loves, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do? He gives himself up for her. Love, then, is measured not by how we love one another, by how we think love should be. Love is then measured by how Christ has loved us. The newness of the commandment is the bar that has been raised by what Christ has done. But here, this is Paul's argument, again, in Romans chapter 8, at the close of the glorious golden chain. And Paul asks the question, what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him be graciously give us all things? Paul's point here is that here, God the Father loves us so much that he gave his only Son. He wouldn't then just walk out and leave us. Nothing will be able to separate us. What is it that, what are we united to? As Paul continues to be able to explain, the height and depth, nothing in the middle to be able to separate us, nothing in all creation will separate us from what? The love of Christ Jesus. Love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's nothing new. The newness is the bar which has been raised. So we see the old and the new, but then we also see the darkness and the light. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Again, we apply this principle to be able to fathom the gospel message as declared to us through Christ Jesus. And we start to be able to begin to understand that there's a shift and a change to what happens to the life of the believer. One who once walked in darkness now beholds the great and glorious light and then walks in that light. That there's a radical shift and a change with the relationship to sin. Prior to walking in the light, you love the darkness. You love the sin. You love that which is before us. The desires of the flesh pursue what is dark and to be able to walk in the darkness. R.C. Sproul has a great children's book, The Lightnings, where this child begins and say, why are people afraid of the darkness? And the character that represents R.C. Sproul turns around and says, it's not that people are afraid of the darkness. Actually, people love the darkness. Actually, people are afraid of the light. They don't want their sins exposed. They don't want their desires exposed. They don't want their nature of their hate exposed. And so they walk in this darkness. Again, it's interesting to be able to think about this image that we have. Obviously, there's various levels of a light and darkness. You can walk into a room that is dimly lit. It is still lit. But we don't have that middle category in the Bible. It's either one or the other. It's either light or darkness, darkness or light. And those two people, you can say you're walking in the light, but if you're not truly walking in the light, then you're not walking in the light. You're walking in darkness. He says that the true light is already shining. And what is then the measure of the truth and reality of whether you walk in light or darkness? It leads us to our third and final category, the old and the new, the light and the dark, but the hate or love. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. It's not merely just the speaking of walking in the light, as John continually points out. It's not what you say, it's what you do. That what you do actually affects what you have said. That many people might profess Christ, as these false teachers did, profess this higher knowledge and claim that they know more about God than others, but when you really go down to it, they don't actually put what they practice into what they practice and what they preach. He says that if you say you walk in the light, that's not true. What gets down to it is how you love your brother. That is the test, then, to be able to say if you're in light or darkness. As we looked before, how do you know that you're a Christian? In a verse before, John explains that you know you're a Christian by the way that you walk in the commandments, obeying God's commandments. You're not saved by them, but what is the test to be able to look back and to be able to see? Well, how do you know you're walking in the light? You're walking in the light on how you respond and treat your brother, either loving or hating. Again, there's no middle ground. We often like to be able to find some middle ground and say, I don't hate them, but they're not my favorite. That's what our kids say when they talk about food and they don't like it. Often they'll say, I hate it. We'd have to explain to them, you don't hate it, you just don't like it. It's not your favorite. The negative word, but the truth and reality is that often this is the categories that we have. The commandment that Christ gives in John chapter 13 is that we are to love our brothers as Christ has loved us. As Jesus explains in the Sermon on the Mount, as he gets to the root of the law and the heart of the matter, as he explains that you shall not murder, but Jesus turns around and says, but I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. List three things here that we're there to do that speak. They're saying that if you murder, you're liable. But Jesus goes deeper and says, not only if you murder, but if you're angry with your brother, if you insult your brother, if you say your brother is a fool, degrade your brother. And he explains that here is not merely just murder you're liable, it's how you respond, how you treat your brother. He explains that before you even go and make any sacrifice, there's an urgency for you to be able to go make that right with your brother. That here, again, when we think about the law and how it responds to us and how we fall of this all the time, fail at this all the time, Of course, we might not say we hate our brother, but do we insult our brother? Do we respect our brother? Do we degrade our brother? How do we treat those? And again, it's not merely that we love our brother in merely a worldly sense, in our own definition, but we are to love our brother as Christ loved the church. As Christ has loved us, we are to love one another. Again, it starts to become very challenging. And you're looking around the room and saying, yeah, it's very challenging. It's even more challenging when you go look in the mirror and you think that other people need to love you. How do you know you walk in the light? Or do you love your brother? Do you go at any length to be able to make it right as Jesus commands in Matthew chapter 5. Once we start to be able to understand the love that God has to us, then we should be able to understand the love that we are to show to others. We of our own account are not lovable. But when we see the love that God has shown to us, the love which God has given to us, and then we look and see our brother or sister in Christ, we should then be able to understand that we can love them. If God can love us, then we can love them. How do you know you're walking in light or darkness? John's test is, do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? This becomes very difficult, especially when we think about conflict that happens all around us. Someone says something that is hurtful to us. Are we able to forgive them as Christ forgives us? Someone doesn't say something to us, and we feel neglected or we feel left out. Either doing something, not doing something, whatever that is, the challenge then is, then do we love them as Christ has loved us? Again, John is not trying to reinvent the wheel. This is the problem with the false teachers. The false teachers are trying to reinvent the wheel, saying there's another knowledge that is hidden over here that you guys don't know. And John is clearly saying, this is an old commandment. It's been forever. Love God, love others. It's a new commandment, and that Christ has given this commandment for us to be able to love one another as Christ has loved us. How then do you know whether you're walking in light or darkness is your love for one another? And again, not in love in the times and the terms that the world uses. The patient love, the enduring love, the love that keeps no record of wrong, the love that loves truth, endures all things, that is kind and patient, that doesn't boast or envy. Now we start to understand the challenging aspect. Then we also understand then when John later on will say that God is love. No one can love because no one until they understand God. You want to understand goodness, you got to go to the source of goodness to be able to understand what that goodness is. To understand love, you need to go to the source of that love, which is found only in God. The world will find love in all the wrong places. What they find is not love. So you want to find out what love is? You need to go to that source of God. That we're to walk in that love. But the only way we can understand that is through understanding who Christ is and the actions that he has displayed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O gracious and most merciful Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word and a challenging word as such as this passage is this very evening. That, Lord, that we have not loved our brother. We have not loved our sister in Christ. We, Lord, have fallen short in many different ways. We have loved ourselves, and we have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength. But we, Lord, thank you, Lord, that although we have not loved others, we have not loved you. You have shown forth your love to us through Christ Jesus. That you have forgiven us and healed us, redeemed us, and saved us. Lord, help us first to be able to understand and fathom your love towards us, that we might be able to love others as you have loved us. We pray in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.